Good morning. Happy anniversary, everyone. Turn to the person next to you, wish them a happy anniversary. It's our church anniversary. Our congregation tomorrow is 22 years old. 22 years old tomorrow, isn't that something? That's brilliant. And just before we start our anniversary service here, I just want to tell you a little something. I had quite an emotional incident prior to the service. There's a young lady came into the church and came through to my office and asked, could she have a word? And I said, well, yeah, but, you know, time's a bit limited. She said, well, I won't take your time. Nice young lady. And it transpires that when Iris and I had our accident, a year past December the 20th, there was a young lady who was driving behind us, and when our vehicle was driven off the road, this young lady was the first one there with her cell phone out and wanting to help, and this was her. Yeah. So she said she's thought about us frequently, and she wanted to get the opportunity at some stage. She doesn't live here, she lives in Calgary, and she was here at the time because she was dating someone in Cremona. And that person has suffered a big loss because they're not dating anymore. But she just said she wanted to get the opportunity whenever she could to come in, see how we were doing. And, you know, you think, what a blessing. What a blessing. And also for our anniversary, got a picture here, which we're going to put in the hall. And this picture here... our church was dedicated to the glory of God in March of 93, and this picture is the Christmas choir of the Christmas 93, not 92 when they were worshipping in the shell, but of Christmas 92. And Lita has dug out this picture, she's enlarged it, and it's pretty good really for an enlargement because we weren't digital photography then, and she's got all the names of the people involved. You want to see that pic? So that's great. So that's that was 93, Christmas of 93, and that is the picture. So we'll put that up in the hall, and we say thank you to Lita for doing that. Thanks, Lita. God bless you. That's lovely. I will rest now from my emotional stress and hand you over to Lorraine.
Good morning. Okay, I'm going to skip over the first announcement, and you'll see why later. Thank you to our faithful Mustard Seed team who provided service and food and a smile to the guests on Wednesday past. Coming up on Friday, March 4th, is the Fellowship Day of Prayer, and our church will be hosting this event. And I believe that there is an information sheet on the table in the foyer. Shrove Tuesday Pancake Supper is March 8th from 5 to 7 p.m. And following on Ash Wednesday, March 9th, will be the Ash Wednesday service at 7 p.m. We are still in the hunt for someone to head up the Vacation Bible School this year. And so if you are interested in taking on this, please talk to either one of the elders or to Pastor Ian. And just a note, the Tuesday evening Bible study, we won't be having a study this Tuesday, so skip this Tuesday, and we will commence on March 1st. And now, a thank you to all who were involved in the organization and running of our pink supper last evening. Special thanks to our resident chef, Diana Page, for the beautiful meal. And so after expenses, all the proceeds will go to breast cancer research, and Charlie is going to come up and speak to a little bit to you about our earnings last night.
Nice shirt, Charlie.
Yes, that might explain the shirt, just in case you were wondering. So last night we had our adult supper here, and in addition to celebrating Dan Richmond's birthday, the annual adult supper was here. After expenses of $270, we raised $546, which will go to this Wild Pink Yonder initiative. If you've not heard of that, you will hear about it this summer because it's ongoing right through to, I think it's the middle of August or something like that, right?
August 22nd.
August 22nd, the Wild Pink Yonder team will be here, but there are quite a number of initiatives that will be going on through the spring and summer. For that, this was sort of the kickoff to that. They had decided that the profits from last night would go to that, so it's $546. Good job.
Are there any other announcements? That was a great, great get-together last night. I was going to say it was a great supper. It was a great supper, but the whole thing was just excellent. It was a joy to be part of it, to celebrate God's love for us by coming together in fellowship. And what a good laugh we had right through the whole evening. It was good fun. It was good food. It was good fellowship. It was just excellent. And big thank you once again to everybody involved in that. It was great. We worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. We come now before his presence in silence. The Lord said to Moses, "Speak to the entire assembly of Israel and say to them, 'Be holy, because I, the Lord your God, am holy.'" We start our anniversary service by singing the hymn that we normally do sing to start our anniversary. We stand and sing to God's glory, 74, Majesty. Let us bow our heads and join together in prayer. Let us pray. Almighty God, gracious Father, we give you thanks. We give you thanks, Lord, on this our anniversary Sunday, because you have created us. You have created us to come together in fellowship. You have created our church family, and you have created everything around us, Father. And we come before you to worship your majesty. We thank you, Father, from our hearts for all that you do for us in the past, right now, and for everything that is to come. And so as we worship you, Father, as we seek to lift high the name of Jesus and bring honor and glory to the name which is above every other name, we pray, gracious Lord, that you will speak to us. We ask you to open our hearts, to open our minds, and fill every part of us, every part of our being, Lord, with your gracious magnitude and glory. We pray in the name of Jesus, and we pray as Jesus taught us to pray, as we say together, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
The Old Testament reading this morning is from Deuteronomy 26, verses 16 to 19. The Lord your God commands you this day to follow these decrees and laws. Carefully observe them with all your heart and with all your soul. You have declared this day that the Lord is your God, and that you will walk in his ways, that you will keep his decrees, commands, and laws, and that you will obey him. And the Lord has declared this day that you are his people, his treasured possession as he promised, and that you are to keep all his commands. He has declared that he will set you in praise, fame, and honor high above all the nations he has made, and that you will be a people holy to the Lord your God, as he promised.
When this congregation was established way back in 1989, the congregation, the people here, made a covenant with God. And this is our covenant, which we stick by it. It is still our covenant. And at every anniversary service, we say our covenant, all of us together. So we will stand. It will appear on the screen, and we will say together our covenant with God. And we do that right now. Please stand. We proclaim Jesus to be Lord and Saviour, with Christ as our head. We covenant together to be his church, with the Holy Spirit as our guide. We covenant together to be his witness in our community, with the Holy Spirit as our teacher. We covenant together to study and proclaim his word in our communities. We accept our responsibility to pray for one another, to love one another, and to be servants of Jesus in the world. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be. Please be seated. One of the things that we do at our anniversary service is if we have a new chairman of the congregation who needs to be installed, then we do that. Now then, a year ago, Bill Bransma became the chairman of our congregation, but he wasn't able to be here at that particular service. So right for the past year, he's been working unofficially and unpaid. And Charlie says, and that will continue. But what we need to do now is we are going to officially install Bill as the chairman of our congregation. And also what normally happens is the retiring chairman of the congregation introduces the new chairman. And at that particular time, Daniel was the retiring chairman of the congregation. But we're gonna zip back a year in time, and that's what we're gonna be doing right now. So Dan and Bill, would you please come up and join me? Bill, are you willing to accept the responsibilities of the position of chairman of this congregation and, with God's help, to carry out your duties with fidelity, trust, and commitment?
I am.
Do you this day acknowledge yourself, with God's help, a faithful disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ?
I do.
Will you devote yourself to the service of God in the world? And will you so live that you will enable this church to be a people of love and peace?
I will.
Would you please kneel, Bill? In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, the head of this church and of the church universal, and on behalf of this congregation, I now declare you, Bill, to be duly installed in the office of chairman of this congregation. Thank you, Bill.
Will the Lord bless you and keep you? The Lord cause his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and grant you his peace. Amen. Thank you, Bill. Say hello to your new chairman. Also, at our anniversary service, we always do the installation of any new elders who may be elected to that position. And to help me with that task, I call upon the elders of the church to come forward and join me, please.
It's a privilege for me to present Sandra Helm, who has been elected to serve as an elder by this congregation.
Sandra, you have been called by the grace of God and duly elected by this congregation to be an elder of this church. It is the duty and privilege of an elder to share with the minister in the government and pastoral oversight of the congregation. Elders have responsibility for worship in the church, for administration of the sacraments, for Christian training of the congregation, for maintaining the role of membership, and for the outreach of the church in the community and the world. Sandra, as you come now to officially assume your duties, I ask you before God and this congregation, do you profess your faith in God, your Heavenly Father, in Jesus Christ, your Saviour and Lord, and in the Holy Spirit, your teacher and guide?
I do.
Will you endeavour to carry out your responsibilities to this congregation with integrity and devotion? Will you now all bow your heads and pray in silence for God's blessing upon Sandra as she takes on this great responsibility? Let us pray in silence. Almighty God, our Father, grant thy Holy Spirit to Sandra, that she may be enabled to keep the promises she has made before you, and may fulfill with wisdom and compassion the duties to which you by your grace have called her. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Would the congregation please stand? Sandra, would you please kneel? Would the elders like to come round, please? Bill, you come round as well. If we all lay hands upon Sandra. Sandra, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I install you as an elder of this congregation. Go and minister in Christ's name among these people and serve him faithfully in the world. Would the congregation please be seated? Let's all congratulate our new elder, our recycled elder. Hold on a minute. Hold on. Don't rush away yet. Let us bow our heads and say a word of prayer for our new elder. Almighty God, our Father, who makes all things new, we praise you for the Lord Jesus Christ, your Son and our Saviour, and we bless you for the church that he has founded, for the diversities of the gifts of his Spirit, and for all of those who have borne witness to his redeeming love. We thank you, Lord, for this your servant, Sandra Helm, who today has answered your call to serve as an elder of this congregation. Almighty Father, who has called the church out of the world that she may bring the world to you, we pray for this congregation and especially for the elders. Grant that they may ever be ministers of your comfort and heralds of your hope. To you, Lord, we give honor and glory in the name of Christ Jesus, our Savior. Amen. If you guys would just like to sit here for now. It's great. great to have Sandra back as an elder of our church. She served us faithfully for 5 years before, and we really believe that the Lord has called her again into this role that she fulfills so beautifully and well. We stand and we sing to the glory of God. Jesus is Lord of all. Anniversary Sunday to celebrate Holy Communion, which commemorates the Lord's great love for each and every one of us. He gave his body, he gave his blood that we might have life, and so we celebrate that now. So all who love the Lord Jesus Christ are invited to participate in this celebration of Holy Communion.
Would you pray with me, please? Almighty God, unto whom all hearts be open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hid, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of thy Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love thee and worthily magnify thy holy name. Through Christ our Lord. Amen.
We continue in prayer. We do not presume to come to this thy table, O merciful Lord, trusting in our own righteousness, but in thy manifold and great mercies. We are not worthy so much as to gather up the crumbs under thy table, but thou art the same Lord, whose property is always to have mercy. Grant us therefore, gracious Lord, so to eat the body of our Saviour Jesus, which was broken for us, and to drink of his blood, which was shed for us, that our sinful bodies may be made clean by his body, and our souls washed through his most precious blood, that we may evermore dwell in him and he in us. Amen.
The Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes."
You that do truly and earnestly repent of your sins and are in love and charity with your neighbors, and intend to live a new life, following the commandments of God, and walking from henceforth in his holy ways, draw near with faith, and take this holy sacrament to your comfort, and present yourself in all humility before Almighty God. This is the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. It was broken for you, to preserve you unto everlasting life. Take, eat, and be thankful. Thank you. Jesus died that we might have life, and we are his church, and we are filled with the life of the Lord Jesus Christ. This is the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ shed for you. Drink this now in remembrance of him and be thankful. Let us bow our heads in prayer. Gracious Lord, for this blessed communion, we give you thanks. And we ask that by your body and by your blood, that we may be made strong in your spirit. Through Christ our Lord. Amen. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and grant you his peace.
Very happy today to have to present in our special music one of our very talented musicians, and that is Pat Pilate. And I want to put something right here. See if we can try and get it put right once and all. Pat Pilate's name does not have an E on the end of Pilate. I try hard not to have an E on the end of her name, but one always appears there. Pat, we apologise and we look forward to hearing your musical presentation. Thank you.
The song I'm singing this morning comes from a verse from John 12, verse 3. Then Mary took about a pint of an expensive perfume. She poured it on Jesus' feet and wiped his feet with her hair. And the house was filled with the fragrance of the perfume. And it talks about our life, our love, as the perfume. Poured at Jesus' feet.
What love is this that burns?
Oh, thanks to Pat for that beautiful presentation for us. Thank you, Pat. Without an E. Your gifts for the work of God in this church and throughout the world will now be received. Thank you. Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, we are ever thankful for your grace and for your mercy and for your goodness to us. And so we come to you now, Lord, and we bring these our offerings, which are but tokens of our gratitude. And so we ask you, Father, to accept our gifts and to accept the givers, for we dedicate them all to the extension of your kingdom here on earth, for Jesus' sake. Amen. Thank you. Yes, it is. Time for Sunday school. We will stand and we will sing to the glory of God, the church's one foundation, hymn 277. The church. Another thing that we always do at our communion service, at our anniversary service, is to take our prayer box, and those who wish to commit themselves to praying for a certain individual throughout the following year, the year to come. Now, that might be an individual that you are praying for their salvation. You may be praying for their healing. You can be praying for whatever you want to pray for that individual. But that's what we will be doing now. Now, last night we had a little quiz at our get-together, and we asked who made all of the various parts of the things around our church. Now, here's the one. Who made this communion box, this prayer box? Who made this? I hope somebody knows, because I don't know. Who made it? Anybody? Who? Oh, Roy Orban. So he made the candlesticks as well. So he may have made this our prayer box, okay? So have you all got a piece of paper, those who want one, to write the name of an individual that you'd like to pray for? Anybody not got one who would like one? No? Everybody okay? If not, at any time, if you want to put someone's name in this prayer box, if you give it to me, I'll make sure that it goes in the prayer box. And this is the box which sits under our communion table. Would the elders please collect the prayer slips in, please? If you would be so kind. We're back in 1989 when we made a covenant with God, and we've already done that covenant. We also had a covenant prayer. And again, it is traditional for us at our anniversary service to stand and we say again this covenant prayer, which we prayed way back in 1989. Grant's going to put it on the screen, or it's in your bulletin. So we stand and we say our covenant prayer together. Lord Jesus, it is only with your help that we can be the church. Therefore, we pray that you would accept each one of us and would help us to accept each other as we are. Break down the barriers between us and you and between us and each other so that we can be joined together to share each other's joys and burdens. By our prayers for one another, build us into a caring community and remind us that our strength comes from our place in your body. Lord, we thank you for your church and for your call to us to be part of it. Amen. Please be seated. I think it's quite wonderful that that we can stand today and we can go through our covenant and our covenant prayer, and it keeps us bound together with the original congregation, this congregation, which was formed way back in 1989. We are constantly in touch with our foundations. Let us bow our heads, let us pray. Almighty God, our Father, on this our anniversary Sunday, we thank you for our church home and for this family of your faithful people and for this place of holiness where we come to worship you. We rejoice, Father, in our short history, and we praise you for all of the people who have played a part in shaping and building this church, this congregation, which we love and cherish. We thank you, Father, for every family and for every home represented here. Your love so richly abounds in this place. It enriches our fellowship, and your Holy Spirit is our constant inspiration, our comfort, and our life force. We pray, Lord God, that we may be worthy disciples of the words of life of your Holy Spirit, Scriptures, your word that you have entrusted to us. May we never lose sight of our purpose, the Great Commission, to make disciples of all nations. To this end, Father, we pray that in all things that we say and do, that we may lift high the name of Jesus as we proclaim the forgiveness and the grace of our glorious Savior, who died and who lives again, that all who believe in him may have eternal life. And now, Father, we bring before you all of our friends who are sick or suffering in any way at this time. You know who they are, Lord. You know of their situation. You know of all of their needs. And so as we whisper their names, we ask you that you, Lord, in your great mercy and compassion, will reach out and touch their lives. We pray in silence. Heavenly Father, we pray also at this time for all of those people whose names we have placed in our prayer box. We dedicate ourselves to faithfully remember these people, Lord, in our prayers, that you, gracious Father, will bring them to a saving knowledge of our Savior, that your healing hand may be upon their lives, and that each of them, Lord, may know of your grace and your salvation. And as we prepare ourselves now, Father, for a new week of service and praise, help us, Lord, to remember that we are never alone, that you are always with us, and no matter what comes our way, like your faithful servant St. Paul, we know that we can do all things through Jesus Christ, our Savior, who strengthens us. Lord, hear our prayers, for we pray in the name of Jesus. Amen. We stand and we sing again to the glory of God, the hymn 43, Great is Thy Faithfulness. Oh, good idea. We will now listen to the word of the Lord. Thank you. I'm looking at the clock.
The Gospel this morning is from St. Matthew chapter 5, verses 38 through 48. You have heard that it was said, eye for eye and tooth for tooth, but I tell you, do not resist an evil person.
If someone strikes you on the right cheek, turn to him the other side also. And if someone wants to sue you and take your tunic, let him have your cloak as well. If someone forces you to go 1 mile, go with him 2 miles. Give to the one who asks you, and do not turn away from the one who wants to borrow from you. You have heard that it was said, love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, that you may be sons of your Father in heaven. He causes his sun to rise on the evil and the good, and sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. If you love those who love you, what reward will you get? Are not even the tax collectors doing that? And if you greet only your brothers, what are you doing more than others? Do not even pagans do that? Be perfect, therefore, as your heavenly Father is perfect. And the epistle is from 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 10 through 11, and then 16 through 23. By the grace God has given me, I laid a foundation as an expert builder, and someone else is building on it. But each one should be careful how he builds, for no one can lay any foundation other than the one already laid, which is Jesus Christ. Don't you know that you yourselves are God's temple and that God's Spirit lives in you? If anyone destroys God's temple, God will destroy him, for God's temple is sacred, and you are that temple. Do not deceive yourselves. If any one of you thinks he is wise by the standards of this age, he should become a fool so that he may become wise. For the wisdom of this world is foolishness in God's sight. As it is written, he catches the wise in their craftiness. And again, the Lord knows that the thoughts of the wise are futile. So then, no more boasting about men. All things are yours. Whether Paul or Apollos or Cephas or the world or life or death or the present or the future, all are yours. And you are of Christ, and Christ is of God.
Thanks to Carolyn for those readings from the scriptures. And now we will stand and sing to God's glory. The hymn, Great is Thy Faithfulness, and we will sing the first and last verse. First and last verse, Great is Thy Faithfulness. Would you pray with me, please? And now may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be perfectly acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Very often in our worship services, we quote the words of Jesus from St. Matthew chapter 18 and verse 20. The words of Jesus which encourage us to come together in worship. And this is where Jesus said, "For where two or three come together in my name, there I am with them." There I am with them. So this is Jesus' promise to all of us. He is here. He is right here with us. He fills this place with his gracious and glorious presence. God gave his people an image of how this works when King Solomon, at God's command, built the temple, the great Jewish temple. And at the dedication of the temple, we read this in 2 Chronicles chapter 7. When Solomon finished praying, fire came down from heaven and consumed the burnt offering and the sacrifices, and the glory of the Lord filled the temple. When all the Israelites saw the fire coming down and the glory of the Lord above the temple, they knelt on the pavement with their faces to the ground, and they worshipped, and they gave thanks to God, saying, "He is good, his love endures forever." And so this was one of the incidents that convinced the Israelites that God lived in the temple. And it was in the temple that was where we had to go, where everyone had to go to be in his presence and to worship him. And then again in 1 Kings chapter 9 verse 3, God assures Solomon, again at the completion of the building of the temple, he says, "My eyes and my heart will always be there." And so over the Old Testament years, it became to the Jewish people a solid fact that God was in the temple. And it was to the temple that one had to go to be in his presence and to worship him. The Leaning Tower of Pisa was at one time leaning too much. It was literally going to fall over. It had become 17 feet out of plumb. So unless drastic measures were taken, the 833-year-old tower would collapse right onto a nearby restaurant. So what they did was several meters of soil from underneath the raised end were removed. And this action moved the tower 1 inch, 2.5 to 3 centimeters towards the center. Now, this might not seem like a major stride, but that action, that 1 inch, makes that tower stable for at least another 300 years. And I guess they're going to have to do it again. Quite significantly, I believe, the word Pisa, as in the Leaning Tower of Pisa, means marshy land. Now, do you think that gives us a little bit of a clue as to why things didn't go quite right with this tower? It was a marshy land. And also, this 179-foot tower only has a foundation of 10 feet. So it's no wonder that this building never stood entirely upright. The foundation was flawed from the very beginning. Solomon's temple that I referred to became part of the foundations of the Jewish faith. But this part of the foundations of the Jewish faith had also developed a flaw. And the flaw was their developed belief that the temple was the only place where God could be found. And this was only one of the problems that had developed in God's original plan of salvation for all mankind. We, as a people, all of us, are flawed. And over the years, we tend to twist and bend out of shape God's plans for our lives. Those original Ten Commandments, they became flawed, they became bent and twisted and added to, and we have a tendency to do this with just about most things that God gives to us. So God himself came down to earth in the form of the Lord Jesus Christ, and he gave to us some down-to-earth clarification of what God's love for us, what it really meant, what it was all about, what God was really all about. Jesus was traveling through Samaria, the land of the Samaritans, and the Jews and the Samaritans did not get along, even though they came from the same ancestry. They hated one another. The Jews believed that you worship God in the temple at Jerusalem. The Samaritans believed you worship God in the temple that they had built on Mount Gerizim, near to where this conversation took place. And Jesus and this Samaritan woman met by Jacob's well. And I just want to quote you part of what Jesus said to the Samaritan woman. "Believe me, woman," he said, "the time is coming when you will worship the Father neither here at this mountain nor there in Jerusalem. The time is coming, it has in fact come, when what you are called will not matter, Jew, Samaritan, and where you go to worship will not matter. It is who you are and the way that you live your life that count before God. God is spirit, and those who worship him must do it in spirit and in truth." God is spirit, which means that God does not have and does not need a physical dwelling place. God is not confined to any building, to any mountain, to any particular part of anywhere in his creation. A few years ago, there was a great movie about a mentally challenged man, which I'm sure most of you are probably familiar with. It was called Forrest Gump, and it starred Tom Hanks. In one scene, Forrest and his friend are late for football practice. The car had a flat tire, and whilst he was changing the tire, his friend accidentally dropped the lug nuts down the sewer, right down the drain. And he's panicking, because their legendary coach, Bear Bryant, would not tolerate lateness of any kind. And Forrest makes a suggestion. He says, "Why don't you take one nut off each of the three other wheels and put them on that one that has no nuts at all? Then all four wheels will have three nuts. And that should at least get us to practice." And his friend looks at him, and his face turns beet red with embarrassment, and he screams, "I do not understand how you can think of that, because you are an idiot." And Forrest replies, "I may be an idiot, but at least I'm not stupid." How he felt about himself. How do you feel about yourself? Forrest Gump understood his limitations, but that did not prevent him from seeing things that other people missed. Many of us put ourselves down, whilst others overinflate themselves. But whichever we are, here's what God's holy book, the Bible, says about you. Whatever you may think about yourself, this is what the Bible says about you. "Don't you know that you yourselves are God's temple, and that God's Spirit lives in you? If anyone destroys God's temple, God will destroy him, for God's temple is sacred, and you are God's temple." God is inside of you. Quite recently, when we were going into prayer time, I actually said, don't think of God as being miles away, high up somewhere. He's sitting right next to you. And to change that comment now, he's not only right next to you, he's inside of you. Did you get that? You are God's temple. Now, how do you feel about yourself? How do you feel about yourself? Because you really are somebody of vital and critical importance, because you are God's dwelling place. You are so sacred to God, He made you so carefully because you are His dwelling place. And if anyone destroys God's temple, God will destroy him. Henry Drummond once observed that if you put a piece of iron in the presence of an electrified field, that piece of iron will become itself electrified, which in fact means that it would become a magnet. And as long as that bar of iron remains in contact with the field of power, it will continue to attract other pieces to itself. And you and I, we are like that piece of iron when we are gathered together as God's church. We are in contact with the source of power. We are in contact with His presence and His Spirit. We experience the love of the Lord Jesus Christ, and we take on His likeness. We become a magnet. We are charged. We are changed and charged as we are electrified by God's Holy Spirit. And in that manner, we are able to attract others to the same love of God that we experience. Ephesians 2:21 puts it this way: Christ is the one who holds the building together and makes it grow into a holy temple for the Lord. And you are part of that building. Christ has built as a place for God's own Spirit to live. So we can see from this that the idea is that we should be joined together. We should be built together. 1 Peter chapter 5 expands on this by telling us, you also, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house. You are to be a holy priesthood, offering spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Christ Jesus. So is Christ's church. We need to be joined together. We need to build together so that we can offer spiritual sacrifices that are acceptable to God. Joined together, built together. Many people in our church family today quite clearly remember what we now regard, if you like, as the dark days of the year 1988. When they were forced into making some decisions regarding the future of this church family. It was a stressful time for our congregation and for many congregations across the width, the whole width of our country. But on February the 19th, 1989, our church family was born again in the Spirit of Christ. On February the 21st, 1989, 22 years tomorrow, our congregation was officially incorporated in the province of Alberta. On August the 1st, 1992, sword was turned on this site, and Christmas worship 1992 was celebrated in the shell of this building. And many of you remember that because you sat on your own lawn chairs worshipping God before this building was even completed. Many of you can point at parts of this building where you scribbled texts on the timbers, texts from the Holy Bible, and you can probably go right over there right now and say, that's where I wrote mine, that's where I wrote mine. And in March of 1993, this building was dedicated to the glory of God, as was this congregation. The Holy Scriptures tell us that God's Holy Spirit lives inside of you and inside of me. The Holy Scriptures tell us that when we are joined together and built together, when we come together in worship, God's blessed and Holy Spirit is present. And this congregation can say in all truth, we know that. Because we have experienced it over the past 22 years. And by God's grace and mercy, we continue in His mighty Spirit today. We are His people. We are His church. Thanks be to God. Amen. I was tempted to go straight into to be God's people. We are going to sing that. But I think we'll also sing the first and last verse of Guide Me, O Thou Great Jehovah. We stand and sing to God's glory. That little hymn has been part of our congregation since we began. It's our church anniversary. We have an anniversary cake for everyone to share in, and as we had such a great get together last night, I believe there's quite a bit of desserts left from that as well. So we have a feast to come. And now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all and all whom we love, this day and forevermore.